Well, 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 here we are, Sunday again. And seems like this month is just about history. Just a few more hours, and it'll all be over for September. It'll never come again. Not this year. It's gone forever. And God help us. I pray that people's hearts and lives will be touched. We are living probably in the most difficult time in the history of the American church world. Amen. We want to remind you that... God bless Bill. Help him, Lord. Amen. This evening... there'll be the young people's prayer service at 5:45, and the evening's youth service at 6, and the evening service at 7:00. Tuesday night service at 7. Wednesday night will be the nursing home service in Front Royal at 6:30. All right, so remember that. And man, time gets away from us, doesn't it? Of course, Friday and Saturday will be the school yard sale for Massanova Christian Academy here. And I think they're going to be starting what time? 4:00 Friday morning? Yeah. It may take you that long with all that stuff you got. No, seriously, starting what time? 8:30. All right. Friday and Saturday yard sale in the parking lot. All right. Then Friday night, this coming Friday night, the 5th of October, will be the monthly fellowship meeting, will be here this time. And Brother Alvin Dover will be preaching that. All right. Let's see here. Amen. Anything else I need to announce? Not that I can think of. Of course, next Sunday is the first Sunday, and there'll be the service at the nursing home next Sunday afternoon at 3:30 in Culpeper. All right. I'm going to need some scripture readers this morning. Wonder if I can get some help here. Amen. Okay. Sister Savage, you can take Jude, verses 4, and then one read verse 3 a little later. Thank you. I was just trying to figure out who Joseph come to see. All diked out here this morning. Brother Chip, why don't you take... 1 Timothy chapter 6, and starting at verse 4, and read down through verse 10. Well, and we're going to read several verses this morning before we start our lesson today. I think that these are the most difficult times, I said a while ago, in the American church. And these are what the Apostle Paul called perilous times. And first of all, we want to read out of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And just want to read that first introduction there. We're not going to read that whole chapter, but there's a few verses there we want to look at, and then we'll go back to other verses, and trust that God will help us this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then after that we want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, knowing this also, that in the last days... anybody believe that's where we are? that in the last days, perilous. That means, that word perilous or peril means hard times or difficult times or grievous times. And then one translator put it fierce times. And I want us to know this morning that that's where we are. These are the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let's stop right there and go to our other scripture this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start reading at verse 23. Amen. When you get there, just hold that scripture because we want to come back to it. As a matter of fact, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Amen. And we'll start at verse 34. And Romans chapter 8, verse 34. When you get it, say amen. Amen. All right. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. And who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Now, somebody said, well, I'm not condemned by a certain behavior. Well, the Bible condemns us on certain things as well as Christ himself. And then the apostle goes on writing in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Look at verse 35 there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Amen. You can just take note of that word peril there, because we're going to join that with the other writings in 2 Corinthians now in verse in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. That's three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often. Now, notice the rest of this verse. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Amen. You may be seated there. I want to talk to you this morning in our scripture lesson, and I'd like to try to bring us up to date to where we are. I want to talk to you about the perils of our time. The perils, dangerous times, difficult times, fierce times. And the Apostle Paul addresses this, and he gives us several examples of perils. And while you're turning here this morning, I want to go to the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at chapters 2 and chapters 3 today. And we are probably living in these conditions right now. Amen. You don't have to be a college professor to understand that we are living in dangerous times, difficult times, fierce times, perilous times. And we have arrived at the time when the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, you have to remember that in the days of Noah, the conditions that existed, and all of the Bible, I don't know if there's any verses in those times in the book of Genesis, and in the condition that existed in that time. The Bible said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That means he's telling them that in 120 years, judgment is going to fall. Amen. And the Bible tells us that men's hearts, in those days, men's hearts were on wickedness continually. Hello? Amen. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. That's verse 5 of chapter 6 of Genesis. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were building, they were eating, they were drinking, they were building and rebuilding, and marrying, given in marriage, and knew it not until the flood came and destroyed them all. They were totally unaware that their lifestyle was contrary to the principles that God had laid out for mankind to live by. And that's where we are in our generation. I mean, this is a perilous time in American culture. Amen. If you read the second chapter of the book of Revelation, and if you wanted to turn over there and follow along, we're going to skip through chapter 2 and chapter 3 here. Amen. This morning. And God is talking, first of all, to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2. And he's writing to this church. Now, this is the beginning of a downward spiral for the church world. This is where it all starts. He said to this church at Ephesus, He had some wonderful things to say about them. But then he comes down in verse 4 and he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why, Lord, are you against us? Number one, because you have left your first love." Amen. You have left your first love. Now, it didn't say you didn't have some good traits or good characteristics. He named them. He said, "I know your works, I know your labor, and I know thy patience, that thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." But now here is the crux of the matter. And you can apply this to individual lives. When people lose their love for God first in their life, they're going to be starting on this downward spiral. Amen. Amen. And I see this condition existing in people's lives today. Amen. They don't just go out and do some sinful thing all of a sudden. Amen. The first thing is they lose their love for Christ. Amen. There was a time in people's lives in the American church that God came first. Didn't matter what. No matter what. God came first in their life. Not just going to church. In their individual lives, in their home life, in their work life, everything. Amen. God came first. Amen. And yet people live good for the most part, but they don't have that love that it is strong as it was when they first got saved. Amen. There's something that is missing. Amen. You believe that's amen. This is the sign of danger. This is the first sign of danger of a spiritual decline in people's lives. Amen. They have lost. Amen. They have left that first love. And when that happens, you can rest assured that the rest of these seven church characteristics will eventually follow. Amen. And this is the time, and God is addressing the church world here. This is the time to make the necessary corrections. If you don't make the corrections now, you will wind up just like the Laodicean church, amen, in the seventh church that is named in chapter 3. Amen. But here is the place you can make the corrections. Here is where you need to start. Amen. Return to your first love. The fervency of it. The passion of it. The drive of it. Amen. That you love God more than anything else in life. Amen. Amen. I remember years ago now, and some of you probably will remember. How many of y'all remember Flight 007? It's been years ago now, and that man, I'm trying to think of his first name. His last name was McDonald. Who? Larry. Larry McDonald. He was on that flight, and he was a good man, really. He really fought against communism and socialism, probably the most vocal of anybody on the national scene. But this flight 007 veered off course only just a little bit. Didn't take much, just a little bit, as they were heading toward the Far East. And I forget where their destination was supposed to be, in Japan I forget now exactly. It seemed like to me it's Japan, but I'm not sure where their final destination was. But they started, when they got over this Pacific Ocean, they started just a hair veering off course. And before long, you know, you can start ever so gradual until after a while you're so far off out there that you never dreamed. And they wound up in the Russian airspace, and they were shot down, and everybody on board died and lost their life. Amen. And I thought, oh God, that is the condition of the church world right now in America. We are beginning to veer off so gradual that you don't even notice it. Amen. You really don't pay much attention. You've lost that passion and love for God that you did have. Amen. That drove you to your knees, and that drove you to reading the Bible, that drove you to the house of God. Amen. That was that love in your heart for God that meant more to you than anything. Amen. This is the peril of our day. This is the danger point. This is the dangerous hour. Help me here. Somebody say amen this morning. And here we are in our American culture, in the church. Amen. And you don't have to go to any denominational church to find this condition. We find it among our own holiness people, that their drive and their love and their passion for Christ and to please Him that has called them to be a good soldier. Amen. They have veered off course. Amen. Now is the time to make corrections. Amen. Verse 5 said, remember. Remember. Amen. Remember. I'd like to shake you so this morning that you would get your thinking cap on and remember how you worshiped God before. Remember your passion and your love for God. Remember what it was like when the joy of the Lord was real in your heart and you shouted around the altar and the glory of God was real in your soul. But there's such a gradual off-course direction until you wind up in disaster and destruction and you lose your soul and sometime your influence carries others with you. Remember, now is the time to make the necessary corrections. If only the pilot had, I don't know why they started veering off course in flight 007. I don't remember all the details, and I don't know whether the authorities really know why. But if the pilot had paid attention and realized that he was veering off course, wound up in a place, amen, where there's disaster and destruction. Man, remember, repent, and do your first works over. Somebody said, how do I regain that? The same way you did when you first got it. You repent. Come on here.
But everybody thinks I'm a good Christian.
How? But God knows. God sees the heart. God knows what's that blackness down deep inside. Yea, man, God sees and knows that that love and passion is not there. You don't pray at the altar like you used to. Amen. Amen. The victory is not there. The joy is not there. The thrill is not there. You go out of church, you go to church out of obligation. You go to church out of responsibility, and that's well and good. Amen. But you've got to have a passion inside for Christ and a love for God. Am I doing all right this morning? Amen. Now, he comes to the church at Smyrna. I don't know whether I'll finish this today or not. I might carry it over tonight. Who knows? The church at Smyrna was one of two churches that had no complaints against it. But it was a church It was a church that, if you read verses 9 and 10 there, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Poverty, that means I'm poor. Ha, but God says you're rich. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, let's look at this Smyrna church for just a moment or two here this morning. Amen. Don't be afraid to suffer for the cause of Christ. Don't be afraid to be called a radical when it comes to your Christian experience. Don't be afraid, amen, to be called a right winger. Praise God. Somebody say amen. I went into Laurel Mill store the other day, and I was buying the Washington Times paper, and there's a gentleman in there, I don't even know who he was. He said, why don't you buy a good paper? I said, what is that? He said, Washington Post. He said, that Washington Times is a right-wing newspaper. I just simply said, when you're a right-winger, you buy a right-wing newspaper. He said, oh, okay, that's probably right. Hallelujah. He told me what he was without ever saying what he was. Amen. I'm not afraid to be called a holy roller, sanctified jolly jumper. Praise God. I'm not afraid to be called a sanctified idiot. I'm not afraid to be called and named with them that name the name of Christ. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Ha. Don't be afraid to be called out of step with this society. Amen. Be thou faithful unto death. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. I've told you this years ago, and I'll just relate it to you because it fits in right here. When I pastored in Texas years ago, there's a young lady in the church. I didn't call her name because Bill would know her. Amen. And she was had started participating in some things in the public school system that was unconducive to Christian conduct and behavior, and I approached her about it and talked to her about it, and she said, well, Brother Savage, she said, I don't want to be an oddball when I go to school. She said, I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. And I said, then you don't want to be a Christian. Hello. I lost some of you right there. Amen. To be a Christian means that you are going to stand out. You are going to be different. Amen. And not because the church requires you to do that, but because you have a love in your heart for Jesus Christ. And if you're only, help me here, if you're only living a standard outwardly, because that's what this preacher requires or this church teaches, if that's the only reason, amen, amen, you are one of those that have left your first love. Hallelujah. Your love for Christ will help you to serve God in spite of all what the world has to say about you. Amen. Amen. Don't be afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid to be called, amen, a right winger. Praise God. Don't be afraid to be called a conservative idiot.
Praise. And the world is going to call you by some names, and even sometime religious people is going to call you an oddball. Amen. If you live according to the principles of this black book, amen, that we call the Holy Bible. Amen. If you live by this Bible, amen, this modern world of religion is going to call you a fanatic. Amen. Don't be afraid to suffer for the cause of Christ. Amen. Because Jesus said, glory to God, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Amen. And what is more important than that to start with? To have a love for God in your heart and a passion that you want to hear Him say, well done. Amen. Yeah, be out of step with this society. I was introduced to some folks here just recently, and the individual that was doing the introduction introduced me like this. He said, "This is Brother L.D. Savage. He pastors Massanoa Pentecostal Church, and he's of the old line holiness, like the old Assembly of God used to be." I don't mind bearing that label. That doesn't offend me. Come on here. That doesn't offend me at all. Praise God. Amen. Somebody said, if you go to Brother Savage's church, you have to, amen, not do this and this and this. I'll bear that label. Amen. And wear that label and say, thank God somebody realizes that there is something different. Don't be afraid. Amen. To suffer for the cause of Christ if that's necessary. Amen. Jesus said, and they shall cast some of you into prison. I don't think there's any of us that have been cast into prison yet. But that doesn't mean that we won't be. If the conditions continue to drift as they are in our American culture, amen, don't be surprised if liberals that get in authority in the place of control of America, amen, winds up persecuting Christians that are real Christians. I lost some of you right there. Amen. Let's go a little further. Here's another peril of our time. The danger of doctrinal compromise. The Church of Pergamos. Amen. We have a new interpretation these days of Christianity. Loose living. So let's get ready to read here in a minute. Amen. Loose living. I mean loose living. Man. Brother, goodness gracious. When I think of how these days are changing so rapidly in the church world, they change the truth of God into a lie. In Jude verse 4, I want you to read that. Amen. Did you hear what that said? For certain men are crept in unaware. That's where we are. Here's the peril of our time. Crept in unaware. Amen. We don't even see what's happening until it's too late. We don't even realize that we are veering off course until, amen, the enemy's guns, amen, penetrate our aircraft, and the first thing you know, we're going down to a watery grave. We don't even realize what's happening because it's such a gradual, of course, crept in unaware, who were before of God ordained to this condemnation. Now, here's what it is. Here's who it is. Ungodly men. Godly men will not lead you astray from the Word of God. If you were to read the entire book of Jude, amen, it's only one chapter and it wouldn't take you long, and you would notice how many times the word ungodly is mentioned in this one chapter, amen, of an epistle. Amen. Just one chapter. How many times the word ungodly men. Amen. When we see the condition of ungodly men, that means they are going to twist the scripture. That's where we are. Twist the scripture to make it fit the lifestyle that they want to live. Oh yeah, they're religious, but they're ungodly in their heart. Their heart's black. Help me here. Their heart is black. I want to tell you, God still requires a life of holiness and purity, amen, and righteousness for his people to live by. Ungodly men, turning, here it is, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. Turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. This is the chief sin of our time. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. When you read this, this one verse of scripture tells you that this is, the Apostle Paul in writing to the Galatians, amen, talked about the works of the flesh. That's what these ungodly men do. They turn the grace of God. Now, we are talking about a slippery slope. Amen. That God knows we are human. And we are prone to failure. And we have to sin a little bit every day. The problem is most people never stop at a little bit. They sin a whole lot and think that grace covers it all. Grace does not cover sin unless it is repented of. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. God don't expect you to live like that anymore. We have a new breed of Christianity in American church world. I mean, some years ago now, I preached a message on the new breed of Christianity. Probably ought to dig that out and re-preach it. Amen. But we have a new breed of Christianity in American church. I mean, they just think that, amen, they can go to church on Sunday and sing Amazing Grace and pray 3 minutes at an altar and get up and go right back out and do their same sinful, wicked things all over again. And grace covers it. And God loves us. And God will forgive us. Amen. He will only forgive you if you repent and turn from your wicked ways. Somebody say amen. Amen. Did y'all know? Help me, Lord. Did y'all know that the Bible said for us to abstain from the very appearance of evil? Now, glory to God, that opens another can of worms. Suppose y'all know who my wife is. Stand up, dear lady. want you to read the other verse in a few minutes. Turn around and look at this crowd. Ain't she pretty? This is the first lady. Amen. First lady of Massanova. Amen. Now, you may be seated. Praise God. And she's glad to sit down. She don't like to get in front of everybody. But everybody knows I'm married to this lady. This is my wife. Hello. Does everybody know that? Well, I just told you, so now you know it, if you didn't before. This is my wife. So, Bill Paragory, amen, goes down to country cooking. Now, Bill likes to eat. I can tell you that. I've seen him. He's my buddy. But Bill Paragoa goes down to country cooking. And lo and behold, when he walks in the door, boy, am I going to get right this morning. When he walks in the door, he looks over there in one of those booths. And he sees me. Well, praise God, that's Brother Savage. And he looks across the table, and there's this pretty chick sitting there. Now, first thought that comes to his mind, what's he doing with her? Who is she? Come on here. I lost some of y'all. But I want to tell you, my intention may be good. Maybe. I put that maybe in there. My intentions may be good, but my appearance is not good. Anybody here now? Say amen. Amen. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now, Bill's first thought is, where is Sister Savage? Oh, she's busy. She's got other things to do. That's no excuse. You know, I've said before, glory to God. You know what an excuse is? It's a poor alibi for a lie. Amen. A reason is totally different, but an excuse is just because we want to get off the hook. Now, Bill thinks, what's the deal here? And the first thing you know, my reputation and my character is marred and tainted because of what I have done. If, and that's a big if my intentions were totally good, I have marred my reputation and influence right there. Amen. Somebody say amen. And Jack Daniel, that's a wrong word. If Bill Daniels, thank you. If Bill Daniels comes in there and he's not saved and he don't go to church anywhere, but he sees the preacher, the holiness preacher, eating with this pretty chick. What do you think he's going to say when he goes home? But Brother Savage, we're living in a different age. I'm trying to help her. Hogwash. Yeah. Yeah. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. I know right now, I know two preachers. notable preachers. Right now, their ministry is destroyed. Completely destroyed. Notable men. The appearance of evil. Somebody said that shouldn't be. Oh, yes, it should. We are godly people. We are holiness people. Our character ought to be above reproach. Come on here. You're not just old John or Tom or some, amen, goofy guy standing out here in the world. You are a Christian. You are expected by the world to be different. Amen. Boy, I can tell you, I'm not going to finish this morning. I see right now, it's going to be a carryover, continued story. Amen. But I want to tell you, we're living in a generation now. Amen. Help me here. Amen. That thinks it's okay. It's okay. There's a church in West Virginia. Brother Lyle Berg was telling me about this not too long ago. There's a church in West Virginia. Man, I'm in trouble here today. But that don't make any difference. Somebody said, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. It just bothers me. I don't like it. Well, that don't surprise me. Really, it don't surprise me at all. The church in West Virginia, Brother Lauberg was telling me about, amen, that they encourage dancing in the church with the music. And not just spiritual dancing, but carnal dancing. And that, amen, this man on this side ought to go across the aisle and get this man's wife and just get out in the aisle and dance around. In the Pentecostal church. Help me here. I want to tell you, we are in perilous times in our American culture. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Praise God. We have people now that want to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ and lower the standard and make it acceptable. Because it's okay, Brother Savage. I still come to church, amen, and pay my tithe. But I want to tell you, your paying your tithe is not going to get you to heaven. It's part of being a Christian, but paying your tithe won't get you to heaven. It's going to take a clean heart. A pure heart. I've never seen such a generation in America right now. Amen. And I'm going to preach more and more probably about it before it's over. Amen. I have never seen a generation that is so lewd and immoral in their behavior and conduct as what is even in the church. Compromise this church at Pergamos. They have a new interpretation. Amen. I said they have a new interpretation. There is an antidote for that. The Bible, the Word of God, is the antidote to know what the Bible teaches in verse 3, such savage. It was needful. Hey, man, you're in need of this. Somebody said, well, my opinion's just as good as anybody else's. I beg your pardon. Your opinion is only as good as somebody else's if it's in harmony with the book. This Bible is the Word of God. It's forever settled. Amen, amen. And he said, now it's needful that I write unto you about this common salvation. Amen. You need to know this. All right, read. This is the secret the antidote to this worldly crowd to know what this Bible says. And if you don't know what the Bible says, amen, you are in great stress of trouble. The Bible is right. Amen. In verse 16 of chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 16, amen, he said now, amen, if you read the other verses here above it, you'd find out that this church of Pergamos, amen, was a compromising church. They had allowed the doctrine of Balaam in. They had allowed the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which God said, I hate. They were a compromising bunch. Amen. They let down any semblance of holiness and godliness. And then verse 16, God said, amen, the same thing that he told the church at Ephesus, and amen, repent. That's the answer. Amen. That's the only way to fix it and get it right is to repent. Now, how do you explain repent? That means to ask for forgiveness and then turn away from the sin. Now, we have a generation. Oh, help me, Lord. We have a generation in the church world in America right now that wants to take Jesus Christ as Savior of their life, but not Lord of their life. And there is no scriptural evidence anywhere in the Bible that says you can have him as Savior and not have him as Lord. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. It is a total surrender and commitment to Jesus Christ. And I've never seen such a time in my life that people think that they can be immoral. Are y'all still with me? I mean their lifestyle. They can run around. They can go to the places of the world. They can go to mixed bathing. Amen. Am I doing all right this morning? They can go to the beaches. They can go to the places of sin. Amen. And think that they're okay. And then go back to church and sing in the choir. I want to tell you, that's deception. And God said, amen, repent or else. Now that or else is a scary thought. What did the writer say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Amen. There is, you get this, there is a possibility of backsliders not repenting. It is clear from the fact here that if they did not repent, they would be judged. What does the or else mean? According to this scripture, if backsliders do not repent, what happens then? Come on here. Repent or else? I will come unto thee quickly and will, what? Fight against them. God's against sin. And God's against everyone that commits it without a repentant heart. Somebody say amen here. Ah, brother, I'm telling you the message of God to this church world, amen, is to repent again or else. You see, these Nicolaitans, they go beyond the bounds of what is proper and right for Christians. They go one step further. I want to tell you. Now, listen to me. If you watch if you watch what is called, and I question the terminology, but nevertheless, for the sake of getting the point to you, if you watch what is called a good movie, your children is going to watch questionable movies. And your grandchildren will watch XXXXXXX rated movies because you have set the precedent. I lost y'all here today. But we are living in a generation that always goes beyond the bounds. The Nicolaitans never stayed within the law of God's precepts and his commandments. They always wanted to go beyond. And that's where we are. That is one of the perils of our generation today. This generation, even in the wholeness movement, wants to go beyond what is right and proper. Amen. I said amen. I'm not trying to be obstinate. I'm not trying to be overbearing. But I'm telling you what the Word of God teaches. Now, amen. It's dangerous here this morning. When the hymn lines get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, and the necklines get lower and lower and lower and lower, we wonder how it all started. And it's because they left their first love. Help me here. I have never, I'm 68 years old. It'll be 69 my next birthday. 69 comes out to 68, doesn't it? I mean, I think that's right. I've seen a lot of things in my life. I've been preaching the gospel for well over 50 some years. I've seen a lot of things. There's people that profess to be one thing and live something else. But I have never seen such a despicable generation that is so rebellious. They're going to dress like they want to. They don't care what you say. They don't even care what the Bible says. Hello? Somebody say amen. The generation of compromise. This is a peril of our time. I was raised up for the most part in the Assembly of God Church. My father pastored and built the Assembly of God Church in Leesburg, Virginia. And down on the east side of town, in the old town part of town. Of course, Leesburg's grown so much now, you wouldn't even recognize the same town as it was when I was a boy living there. Amen. And I was raised up in the Assembly of God for the most part. And I want to tell you, y'all think I'm off base? When I was a boy, the Assembly of God churches, all of them in that district, preached just like I'm preaching right now. I mean, there wasn't any difference. I mean, help me here. And sometimes you folks think I'm off base. I'm still within the book. I'm still just like the Bible says it was. And if you, come on here, if you want to go to the left, you can. That's your privilege. You are free American. And you are a human being with a choice. You don't have to. And I will tell you one thing. You will suffer the consequences Amen. For God said, repent or else I will come unto you and I will fight against you. Amen. Amen. You need to return to your first love. I was talking to a dear lady at this church just a week or two ago, and they had had some get together with some older people that they have known, and those older people that was raised up with them when they were young got together, and they talked about the old times and the old saints and the old preachers and what a wonderful church they had, amen, at Belvoir, and what a wonderful church they had at Leesburg, and what a wonderful church they had at Alexandria, amen, and some of the other places around, and what great preaching and mighty powerful preaching they had, amen. But and while they were talking about the old times and the old saints and the old preachers, amen, some of them had tears running out of their eyes and down their cheeks as they remembered the old days and the old preaching. But yet in their lifetime, right now, they are so far from that teaching and so far from that preaching, amen, that you wouldn't even recognize them as the same group of people. Amen. What is it? Amen. It's the spirit of compromise that is such a gradual, off course deviation from what we were taught and what we were, amen, believed and what the Bible teaches us. It's such a gradual, off course, amen, deviation that we don't even recognize until it's so far out there, amen, it's too late to make any changes. And the devil is shouting with glee because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been tainted with sin in the world. Amen. 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 The church of compromise. The Nicolaitans going beyond a continual downward spiral, a continual regressing, a continual trend, amen, that just gradually breaks off from the main line and the teachings and the principles of God's righteousness. Amen. Now, this church at Pergamos deviated from the scriptural doctrines. They compromised the doctrine of the Bible. Huh? Amen. The Ephesus left the first love. Amen. Pergamos. Smyrna, amen, was a persecuted church. And we have a generation that is afraid of what somebody's going to say about them. Amen. And the Pergamos church, amen, was the church that deviated doctrinally from what the scripture teaches. Is it possible that you can go to heaven on some other religion beside Jesus Christ? According to this generation, you can. Everybody's going to heaven that believes in God. Hello here. Amen. Everybody. Oh, just because. Amen. Amen. You know, really, the world's not, how can I say that? The world's not intimidated if you just say, God bless you. Oh, that's wonderful. God bless you too. They live like the devil, but it depends on what God you're talking about. To say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I hope he is of yours. Amen. They pull up in a shell. They want him as Savior, but not Lord. They deviated from the doctrine. Amen. Come on here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of that gospel to change men's lives. Amen. I said amen. I'm going to close here in about another hour. Amen. But this new breed of Christianity, amen, has brought us a change in our doctrine of what the Bible says. Now, the Bible is right. I said the Bible is right. Let every man be a liar and let God be the truth. This book is right. No matter what you think, the book is right. Now, because, help me here, because Pergamos, amen, deviated doctrinally, compromised doctrinally, amen, and embraced the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, the next step of this peril of our day is simply this: the danger of moral compromise. Scriptural compromise, doctrinal compromise comes first, and then moral compromise. I want to tell you, y'all hang in here this morning. I'll quit after a while. Sex outside of the bonds of matrimony is a sin. Thyatira. Amen. Mixing moral, immoral, mixing immoral worship with pure worship. You suffered that woman Jezebel. When I started out preaching 50 some odd years ago, I never dreamed I'd live to see the condition morally of the church world that we're in now. People can shack up and live together and adultery and fornication. Homosexuality. Amen. And all the immoral sins and still want to be accepted as a Christian. Somebody say amen. And again in verse 21, amen. Verse 21, he said, I gave her space and time to repent. I gave the opportunity. Amen. I gave leeway. Amen. I didn't cut him off without any remedy. Somebody say amen. And I say again tonight, as I said the other night, I said to my wife, I said, God will allow that in a certain situation we would discuss. And I said, God will allow that to go on for so long. Space to repent. But at some point in time, God's going to yank the cover off and expose their immoral conduct and behavior. And everybody will see what a, excuse the vernacular here this morning, what a slut she was, or what a whoremonger he was. Does not the Bible talk about the bed being too short and the covers too narrow? God said, I'll give them space to repent. But in this church of Thyatira, there was no repentance that came. Amen. They were headstrong. They had rejected doctrinal purity, the truth. Amen. They were determined to do their own thing, to live their own life, however I want to do it. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's a book, a conclusion of the book of Judges. Every man, well, it looks all right to me. You're sexy. Oh, baby, you're sexy. Oh, you're a handsome hunk. Until we have degraded our morality in this country and we've tried to make it acceptable in the church world. And then the judgment of God came.
because there was no sensitivity to God's word or his spirit. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Past feelings. Past any sensitivity that God is displeased with their life, with their heart. No ability to understand that, hey man, they're not going to go to heaven when you die. I'm just as good as anybody else. Help me here. I want to tell you, we're living in a dangerous generation. We're living in perilous times. And if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ don't get on her knees, amen, and pray through and get the victory of God in our midst, amen, we too will go the same way the rest of the, amen, religious world has gone. And we will accept it just like the rest of them have accepted it. Us old heads will be dead and gone after a while. Amen. The generation coming behind us will have no convictions and no sensitivity of the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost that moves among us. Amen. They'll come on here. Amen. They'll sing Amazing Grace like they always sang it, but there's no spirit in it. They'll have an emotion and wave their hands like windshield wipers, but there'll be no consecrated, amen, life in them. Amen. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power of it. We must have a revival. We must have a seeking God. We must get back to the altar of prayer and seek the face of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, I will come unto thee, saith God, and with me shall my judgments come. For judgment must first begin at the house of God. Yea, and if thy broken heart and thy wicked heart and thy dark heart shall not be repented. Yea, saith the Lord, if thy heart is stubborn and rebellious, shall not I, the Lord thy God, come with judgment? Have I not done it in times past? And I will do it again, saith God. Repent, or else I, the Lord thy God, will be against thee. Search thine heart, for the Holy Ghost this day knows what is within. The Holy Ghost is here this morning. I pray. God has been gracious and patient with some, and he's left you alone to your own self. But that's coming to an abrupt end. Somebody in this church this morning is about to face a sin of angel God unaware.
unaware. We're going to come pray. Anybody here this morning want to come to the altar? I don't care who you are. Holy Ghost filled, backslider, cold, indifferent. You feel like maybe you want to get more of God than what you got. Altar's open.